This podcast is brought to you in association with Inside Out and PrideNZ.com.
Now, we'll start with you, Ashley. What brings you here to the Shift Hui today?
Experience, friendship, maybe love. It was my friend had told me about it a couple of days before registration had closed, and I've never met anybody like myself. And it was, I just thought that it'd be really, 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 really cool to meet people like me and, like, wake up and have, like, people and just be like, hey!
All right, and what about you? What brings you here to Shift?
In the beginning, it was just to be with the group which I'm here with. But then I was just like, oh, I'm here with a bunch of queer people. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. And you, Jake?
Same as Timong, I came with QU from Nelson, and yeah, really wanted to come because I'm really gay.
Yeah, me too. Same, right? Alright, so you've come from Nelson. Where have you two come from?
I'm from New Plymouth and Taranaki.
New Plymouth and Taranaki?
Nelson.
You're Nelson as well?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Now, what's been your favourite part of Shift so far?
I like the food, of course. I love hanging out with everybody, and hated the bus trip.
Fair.
But I'm gonna love Spotlight, which is tonight, and I like snuggling with my best friend.
Yay!
To be honest, the food is amazing, but the workshops are good too. I just changed a tire, which I've never done before. That is good. And there was a trans workshop thing, listening to people. That was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And have either of you had a favourite workshop so far?
I haven't actually gone to any of the workshops.
You haven't?
I was supposed to, but my friends kept distracting me, and then... did they go all the way around?
No.
Oh, I thought that they were, because I didn't want to explain my story. Well, I ended up going down with my friends, and we played handshake game.
That's cool. Is there any workshop that you're looking forward to that you're going to go to?
Probably the dress up.
Yeah?
I don't know, but I'm not even sure what workshops are tomorrow.
Do you have a favourite workshop, one that you've had so far?
No.
Is there any that you're looking forward to?
Yes.
Downtime.
Oh, no. There's a thing tomorrow for introduction to New Zealand Sign Language and Te Reo Māori. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that one sounds super interesting. And Jake, you mentioned changing a tire before. Was that your favourite? Yeah.
I don't know, I like the transit. What? That was really good.
Yeah?
Intro to New Zealand Sign Language and Te Reo Māori sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting. So, just to wrap it up here, how have you guys enjoyed the organisation of the Hui today?
Good.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Like the planets and stuff, you guys find that really good? And
I'm in Uranus, which is my favourite. And we made the greatest mascot that we could.
No.
It was so amazing.
What was the mascot, do I want to ask?
It was a butt with a rainbow coming out the butt. And astronauts and rockets.
Sounds thematically appropriate.
We had what we made what we could.
The planet theme is quite cute. And things. Our mascot was better, by the way.
Yeah, what was your mascot?
Our mascot was Saturn with actual rings on it. And it said, with one ring.
We had Uranus, it was just on the flag that was on the butt.
Yes.
So the badges we have don't have the rings or the ring of Saturn on it. So we wrote don't on it because they don't have the ring.
Oh, now it makes sense.
And don't is our mascot.
Nice. And you?
Yeah, same. I'm in Saturn too.
You're in
so
Saturn
just don't.
Well.
Yeah, but it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, alright, so we'll just wrap that up here. Is there anything else that you would like to say before I stop recording?
Everybody better come back next year.
All right, and I'm here tonight with your name, please.
Elizabeth Kere Kere.
All right, Elizabeth, could you please tell me a bit about your role here at the HUI?
Partly it's as a chair of Te Whanawhana Trust, which is set up for Takatāpui, and we play a role in this country around supporting tikanga and making sure that Māori protocol is used correctly around in rainbow events and activities. And so the first part was coming here to support the pōhere as we came onto the marae. And then through the hui, I've ran two workshops and taken part in another. And they're the kind of the main areas that I work in. So one was around Takatāpui, and so that's explaining what that is, and then looking at how, kind of from a treaty point of view, what things to take into account when groups are wanting to make their groups, their events more inclusive of Takatāpui. And so that was the first one. The second one is, as head of Te Whanawhana, I'm leading the development of a national rainbow strategy. And that's about coordinating our effort across the country, but being really specific about what are the key issues for different parts of our community. So I've been talking and planning and thinking about this for about a year. This was the first formal workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I want to make sure is that our young people are involved in laying the foundation for how this will move forward. And as I said, with the hui, I don't believe in having a youth voice. I believe in having multiple youth voices, and particularly to make sure that we hear the voice of those young people who do not get heard in so many other environments and situations. And so we had an amazing workshop, and it was really vibrant and brought out a whole lot of different information. And we just discover what is the magic in the room. What are the things that our young people are interested in? Because, of course, they're not just interested in stuff to do with young people. We are all really complex people. We have different identities, different skills and talents. And they're engaged with so many different things. And in terms of the strategy, then there's many, many areas. I'm not interested in confining our young people to young things or things impacting on the youth community. And, of course, there are all a range of identities where homophobia, biphobia and transphobia affects them. And that's something they share with their elders, with other people from and across other cultures. So that was the second one. The third one, we work with members of Inside Out around a relationship workshop. What does a healthy relationship look like? And so they ran the workshop for the first part of that and then handed it to me and my partner, Alofa, to talk about how we make a healthy relationship work. And as part of an earlier project with Rainbow Youth and their You, Me, Us resource on healthy relationships, I'd provided Elizabeth Kere Kere's top relationship tips. And so we kind of went through those and how that plays out, A, in our relationship itself, but also how that plays out when for other people, and that it's relationships, it's partly the intimate relationships that we have with the people we share our lives, our bodies with, but also the people in our community, the people we're in groups with, the nature. What I was trying to do is get to the core of relationships, because what we do well in our home, we'll do well out in the world.
Yeah,
so that's what I've been doing, and I guess just being around for people to come up, ask questions, get advice. I'm learning a lot.
So I was wondering if you could maybe please talk a bit about what the HUI has done or what you have done in your role at the HUI to help it be a more safe and inclusive space for everybody.
So the HUI organisers have made sure that there are people who are qualified and trained to deal with young people who may be experiencing trauma or are feeling unsafe or uncomfortable. So there's kind of, and having elders around that have those kind of skills. So there's that layer of safety and different mechanisms that exist in the way that workshops are run and starting to teach young people how they can look for help in those situations. I think in terms of safety, I think it's really important, and I think it's something that could be worked on more, is about building resilience, to say how do we in this make sure that we strengthen ourselves. So when we're uncomfortable, how we can find words for what needs to be said, and then being able to, and even if something is so uncomfortable or triggering that you need to take some time out, then those kind of techniques that we've all had to learn to be able to make ourselves feel better, feel safer and stronger to be able to come back and keep taking part. In terms of being inclusive, I think that there's a huge range of identities at the hui in terms of sexualities and gender, and it's predominantly school age kids. From my point of view, from a treaty point of view and a takatāpui, what I always recommend to organisations, if you want to have Māori Pacific Islanders represented at your events, you need Māori and Pacific Islanders on your organising group. That is a given.
Absolutely.
And so, but however, it's not always easy to find those people. So I always recommend that if you can't get the people, and also with those skills and networks, it's not like every Māori knows every other Māori.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can't put those pressure on everyone just because they whakapapa to that particular culture. That's not cool either. And then you develop relationships with people who have those networks, and it's really good if that can be developed over time. It's never good to come to people just before and go, hey, by the way, send us some brown people. No, it's never going to work. But, you know, so it's that thing, and again, the advocating of developing relationships, because I think that this hui is very inclusive, but there's still more people, and there's always going to be more people. So for the next hui and moving forward, then what are the kind of relationships that can be built up over time? And even with some of the groups who are here, who've come as participants, there could be a place for them taking up more of a leadership role, so that the work also and the burden is shared.
Yeah. All right, so we're almost at the end of the weekend. Would you like to talk about your favourite part so far?
My favourite part of the weekend has been after different workshops when young people have come up and just started talking and asking questions. So either they've been in a workshop I was in, or we happen to sit down beside each other and we just start chatting. And so that's the thing I've really valued. And also I have only really beginning to learn about asexual and aromantic identity. So that's something that in takatāpui, then we encompass all the different sexualities, genders and sexes that our people encompass and embody. So coming into a more predominantly Pākehā space and community, where that terminology and the language then is really important and operates a little under the radar, it's really important for me when I'm representing takatāpui and being involved in rainbow communities that I understand it from that point of view, and I make sure that my language is correct. And so I've really appreciated that when people who identify in that way, and that is the nature of it, when you're the few that are at something and you have to keep on representing it until the rest of us pick up and we can start to speak to it as well and be the allies that are needed. Now, I'm a cisgendered lesbian femme, and so my primary identity is takatāpui, but I know that I present in a certain way. I'm in a monogamous long-term relationship with another lesbian, so there are relationship forms that I'm not involved in, and so, but my role, and when I see many of us who are allies in this community or members of the community full stop, we need to make sure our languaging is up to date. We need to make sure we represent and speak to all of the different communities and all the different identities who are here.
That's fantastic. Just to wrap up the interview here, is there anything you'd like to see change or be added to shift in the future?
I would like to see, perhaps if it's inside out, building some strong relationships with other Māori Pacific Island groups and to increase that representation in the leadership, and which, of course, I'll be talking to them about and helping them do, because I'm not into just telling people something and leaving them to it. I also think we probably need a bigger venue.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of young people who want to come into this space, and yeah, we just might need some bigger spaces, and it would be good for everyone to be sleeping closer together. I think it will just keep going from strength to strength. We're getting more and more diversity groups out in the country, and as our young people are becoming more confident and stronger, and our schools are finally getting on board and increasingly getting on board, then the people wanting to engage in this conversation and having the space to be together will increase, because we know for some of them, so with the safest space, when we talked, you started at the beginning about making this a safe and inclusive space, that for many, this will be the first time they've been around so many people with this diversity, and which makes it a life-changing experience for them. And I think you can't give that to enough people. And so I'm sure that it will continue to go from strength to strength. With a hui like this, what is awesome and amazing to see is the strength of our youth leadership. That the range of skills, of talents and wisdom, this is an opportunity that we can see that at work. I come, of course, from a Māori point of view where, with whānau, that it is intergenerational, that our young people work with our elders and with my generation, even though I get called an elder, that then they have the opportunity to also learn from. They're not operating in a vacuum, that they get the opportunity to learn from and be supportive of those of us who are older and who have done what they've done and lived to tell the tale and survive the issues that we went through to get to where we are. Because some of them are the same and some of them are dramatically different. Our young people are growing up in a completely different world. And so that's something that I will always advocate for, is that intergenerational thing. So our young, we've got 13 and 14-year-olds at the SWE. So I always want to be able to support and be there for our youth leaders, because I organise Kaha 09, and so many of the ones who are playing leadership roles in our communities at this hui were young people at that hui, and it's amazing for me to see that. And so I am just really proud. I'm very proud of our young people.
So this piece that I'm going to freelance this, so I'm going to make this up on the spot. By the way, I am feeling about being here, so being a performing artist, you know, we look at things in a whole another perspective, and this is how I'm feeling now at the moment about everyone, myself, yeah, just about the whole in general. Okay. Do you like the number 1 or 7? This is the actual question.
7.
7, okay.
Yeah.
7 colours make the rainbow. Being in the LGBTQI community, rainbow has a big impact today. So 7 colours make the rainbow. 7 letters makes us friends. 7 wonders make the world. 7 days make a week. Week. Week by side looks and nudges from numerous judges. They look at me with a certain assumption, reciting, who am I? Who am I? I am the queen. Why am I the queen? Because I have such high self-esteem. I'm making my mark on the world by a new revolution of gender. Trans. What is trans? What is trans? What is trans? I'm asking you, what is trans?
Oh, I kind of consider it to be anything that is outside of that cisgender box that we get given at birth.
Let it sink into you like it has sunk into me, draining the confidence of the human that remained. Your eyes seek intention, but I seek intention. 5, I was categorized to be oversized, which was never to forget. I hope you regret for this neglect. 3, I am free, he, she, you don't know who to refer me to, and 1. shiftly count your blessings. That's just me freelancing on how I'm feeling at the moment. Being brought into this place, not knowing anybody besides the people you come with, trying to get to know other people is a feeling that is indescribable. I've enjoyed being myself, being free. Not to the extent I want to be, but I'm free. Here I feel like there is no pass of judgment. Sometimes I just feel free being around people that are similar to me. For the fact that we are all equal and we are the same, that there is no hierarchy, that makes me free. I've kind of laid behind the scenes a lot and watched how you and your team run it. You've taken to my eye quite a lot because you've stood out a lot. I see the things you do for your group. I see the things you do behind the scenes, you know, when we're not in group chickens, etc. And I think you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, first and foremost, I have to clarify that. And I think that you're so, you interact with each and every one of these children. You make an effort to go to all these workshops, which goes to show that you're an amazing leader.
Thanks.
How can somebody like me aspire to be somebody like you?
I don't know, I think one of the things that has, this is my first time at Shift, and as a Tuakana, I've gone through something that has had like a similar emotional outcome for me, at my old university, because I've I'm Wellington by way of Seattle, by way of Auckland.
Seattle in America?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, my mum's the American half, and so, you know, I was born and I lived here for a bit, and then I moved to the States, and now I'm back. And at my university in the States, we had this process called the Queer Experience, where we were just trying to, like, we all wrote memoirs about our experiences in our lives, and we spent a whole, like, month and a half process of, like, meeting every week and unpacking our experiences with each other. And it was just the most validating experience, and just felt really well held, and we just cultivated a space where we could be vulnerable with each other, and it was really, really life-changing experience for me, and Shift Hui is the closest that I've ever come to experiencing that again.
Yeah.
So that's the first part of it. I've just those ideas about like being just holding each other and like fostering yes. community.
Yeah.
And like actively working on that, like, you know, in spite of like interpersonal differences, because you know, that totally happens. You know, we don't always get along with everybody. And, you know, despite that, like, I don't know, I guess I kind of believe that when we're at a hui, when we're in this kind of community space and we're this, like, packed together, we have to work to get along.
Definitely. So, how can myself and everybody else around me help you and your team in order to make this hui better and successful? How can we contribute to help you make it run smoothly, etc., etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's really hard because, you know, again, the age difference, you know, this is a hui for youths, but it's also run by youths. So, like, the age difference starts to get really small at points and places, it makes it really hard to, you know, have any concept of authority in this place,
yes.
You know? So it makes it really hard, I think, to you know, get people to go places and to do things.
So are you asking us maybe to come with a positive attitude, you know? And
I guess what I'm going for is that, like, the most important thing is to build our relationships with each other.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the solution, you know, instead of, like, having a hierarchy and, like, Tabby's in command and you do what she says and that sort of thing. Well, I'll do anything Tabby says, basically, but, you know, because I love her so dearly, and I'll take a bullet for her, I swear, but, you know, I think it's more important that we build the relationships with each other sort of thing, so that, you know, I don't have to use authority to get you to come to the table and join our check-in sort of thing, you know? So it's more about, like, being, you know, social with, as a tuakana to your people and, like, getting them to want to come to you sort of thing, maybe. You know?
What's your thoughts?
I guess that's more what we can do for you than the other way around, I suppose. I guess just reciprocating that, maybe, like, you know, working on talking to the Tuakana and working on, you know, just building relationships. That's what we're here for. And I think that, like, you know, if we keep that as the central focus of what we're doing here, I think that might be the smoothest way of going about it. Again, this is my first time at Shift 2, so I don't have the experience I don't have the experience with this particular context to, you know, feel like I'm speaking with, you know, with a little more experiential knowledge on that. But based on, I guess, my experiences, I think that's kind of, and my experiences here this weekend, I think that might be the way forward.
In conclusion, my darling, do you think that, this is going off topic, sorry, and this is going to have nothing to do with the interview, but you can keep rolling. I just think that you're a beautiful person. You are amazing deep down. The passion I can see that thrives through you. Don't ever let anybody else tell you different, and just know that passion never sleeps. And I wish you well in life. And, you know, you've really had an impact on my life one way or another.
Oh my God.
So just think that when I do something creative, and it'll be from your influence in one way or another. But no, honestly, you plus me equals solidarity. We're all equal.
Oh my God.
And just remember that you're amazing. Thank you, Brighton Dad.